Jesus, we come before you again, Lord. We're just seeking your face, Lord. We're seeking your blessings. We want to see you, Father, among us. We want to hear your voice speak, your comforting secrets, your love secrets to us. We ask that you would meet the needs that we have, that some we don't even need, that we don't know, Father, and yet you know our needs. You know how to meet them, Lord. And sometimes our idea of how to fix our problems is completely not what you have in mind. So help us just to lay down our thoughts. Help us to lay down our desires, our ambition, our religion, and just to know you, Father. Lord, that's the purpose that we have this morning to be here, Lord, is to know Christ. I ask that you would come and just make yourself known among us, Lord. Speak your word, Lord, and help us to hear and to receive what you have, Lord. You know each heart, Lord. You know our minds. You know what we're going through. You know the doubts and fears that Satan put into us this morning, even on the way to church, Lord, and how he's trying to get us all stirred up about something, Lord, so that we can't relax, so we can't just accept what you have, so it can't be simple. Father, simplify yourself, Lord. Reveal yourself in simplicity as you promised to do, Lord. We wait for you now, Lord. In your name I ask this, Jesus. Amen. If you turn in your Bible, we're going to read a couple of places. First of all, John 17. Hope everyone's doing well. John 17. And we're going to read verse 20. We'll start at 20. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. So he's talking about us right there. That they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee. That the world may believe, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one even as we are one. I in them, thou and me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that thou hast sent me and thou hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Amen. If you also want to turn to Colossians, the first chapter. Colossians 1 and verse 18. And he is the head of the body, the church, that's us, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in heaven or things in earth, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. You may be seated. So we're going to just keep going from where we left off Thursday. We talked about how God wants to simplify himself down so we can understand him, so we can know him, so that we know God. We understand God. We have the mind of Christ, and there's no way we can understand him as a great eternal being. And so he has to make himself, break himself way down in simplicity till it's just simply our little human mind can start understanding who he is and who we are. And we see here in these two readings what Jesus was praying. He said, make us one, Father, like you and I are one. I want to be one in these people. I want to indwell these people. I want to be one with them just like you are, and I are one. And so when we look at this, brother and sister, and recognize he is talking about us. He's talking about the bride. He's talking about the church, whatever you want to call yourself, brother and sister. He's talking about the body of people that he indwells. He did all this that he did is to get into us, into human beings, to do what? It's about relationship. It's about relationship. When you make it more complicated than that, you are missing God. All he ever wanted to do was get back into relationship with human beings like he had with Adam and Eve. That's not all he wanted to do, but that's a major part. And what we find when we see the threefold purpose of God, that is the second fold of his purpose, is to get back into relationship with human beings. When you get more serious, more complicated than that, when you add anything to it, you are missing God. second. See, that's why Satan tries to get you all stirred up and confused and worrying about one thing or another. You want to do this, you want to God to do that. Brother and sister, he wants a relationship with you, and that comes through a new birth. So whatever else you do, that is the first step. That is what you have to do. You need to get a birth. You need to know Christ. That's the only thing to worry about, brother and sister. Nothing else matters. Get a new birth. Get to know that revelation of Jesus Christ, who he is, brother and sister, and then everything else comes from that. But until you get that, you haven't started. We can offer him all kinds of worship, praise, whatever you want to offer him, but if you're not in relationship with him, it's not going to matter. It doesn't count. You got to get in the race first before you can start running. And then you go back to Colossians and said, let me just look, read some of these that we just read. Having made peace through the cross, to reconcile all things unto himself, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. Brother, sister, when that becomes reality to us, it changes your life. Because you recognize that what God had in mind all the way down through was all about you. Then when Satan comes against you and tells you all this stuff, you'll get tore up about, oh my goodness, my boss doesn't like me. Oh my goodness, my kids don't like me. Oh my goodness, someone says something bad about me. Oh my goodness, Jesus Christ reconciled you to himself through the body of his death. Put it in perspective. What else matters? What else matters? You say, well, Brother Phil, there's a lot of things in life that matter. Yep. While we're here, they do. Temporarily, they matter. So let's take the mind of Christ and look at the eternal. Look to the unseen. It will make your life a lot less complicated and a lot more happy. It will. It puts things in perspective. I used to be a crisis counselor, and I'd go out on calls and I'd see these kids. And there, a lot of them were suicidal, and I went to many calls where a teenage girl was suicidal. She's going to kill herself because for a consequence for her action, her mother took her cell phone away. And now she's going to kill herself. You know, it's kind of like funny, whatever. To her, it wasn't funny. Her whole life was wrapped up in that cell phone. What a sad place to be, but look at the perspective. Now you and I look at that and say, oh my goodness, take my cell phone away. But for a kid, her perspective is so small, it's like this is all, everything she had. Brother and sister, so many times, you know, we look at that and say, well, come on, grow up. Well, God's looking at us and say, come on, grow up. What are you tore up about? What is so important? That you lose your joy, you're willing to surrender your joy, you're willing to surrender your peace of mind over something that from a greater perspective really isn't that big of a deal. Well, someone said something that hurt my feelings. Mm-hmm. Well, lose your victory over that if you choose to. Go ahead. All right. Threefold purpose. The first thing that God wanted was to reveal himself to the people, all right? And he did that through Jesus Christ, preeminence in one man. And then secondly, to have the preeminence in his body of believers, that is his bride, that he might live in people. God wanting to live in people. And he said, now he could do that in Adam and Eve. He could do that in Adam and Eve. He had what he wanted right there in Adam and Eve. But sin separated them, so now there had to be some way to get it back again. Why didn't he just keep Adam and Eve like that? Oh my, wouldn't that just been nice? Wouldn't that been just easy for us if he could have just kept Adam and Eve like that?
And then they could have gone forth and replenished and multiplied the earth, not through a fallen sex act, but for a spoken word. And we would have come along into a perfect world and everything would have just been great. Don't sometimes you think, well, why couldn't it just been that way? Why do we have to go through what we're going through? We are born in sin. You came to the world lost. Adam and Eve came to the world saved. Think about it. If all God wanted was to have a family, why not just let it work out that way? Why do we have to go through all this turmoil and stress and fear and doubt and pain and misery and grief and, oh my goodness, the agonies we suffer because of Adam and Eve? Well, that ain't fair. Why did he have to go and make it this way? He could have kept him from falling. You know what? If he would have just never created Lucifer to begin with, we'd been okay. Isn't that human nature? Human nature likes to take it easy. We want the easiest route. We want to take the easy walk. Just make it easy. And we got to the point so far where political correctness in this country has taught, not just this country, around the world, has taught us that we deserve it to be easy. So watch some of the commercials on TV sometime, you that like to watch TV like I do. They'll advertise, well, you deserve this. You deserve to have this good thing. You deserve it. And pretty soon, you deserve to have part of my paycheck. I know you didn't work for it, but you deserve it anyways because you're a human being. Think about it. Well, I don't feel like working. You just need to make sure I have what I need to stay alive. I'm a human being. I have a right to your paycheck. I was talking to this woman at work. And she had decided, I told you this before, but it's a good story. She had decided her and her friend were going to go on a round a country bike ride or something like that. They're going to ride all, like from the East Coast to the West Coast, down to the north, South, all the way down the Southern United States, and up, or they're going to do something crazy like that. I said, how are you? And she was sitting there. She said, you know what? You ought to come along with this. You're just a slave to the dollar. So many people are slaves. Instead of getting out and living, you're a slave to the dollar. You have to stay here and work and get all your stuff. I said, how are you going to afford to go? Oh, I'm going to get donations from people. I said, you mean people who stay and work? So you want someone to stay and work and donate so you can go out and ridicule and look down on people who are slaves to the dollar, you hypocrite. Tell the truth, folks. She didn't like it. I deserve this. I want it easy. Why not get out and live a little bit? Now, I totally agree with her as far as getting out and living. I think that's great, but don't belittle other people who you're going to ask the money from. And if you can afford to get out and ride around the country, for goodness sakes, go and do it because you're doing something with your life. You know what? Go live. Yesterday morning. I was in Gallatin. We were doing a bike ride. It's something called Pedals for Paws. It's to support the animal shelter there in Gallatin. Yesterday morning, it was like 38 degrees. You ever ride bicycle when it's 38 degrees? It is cold. And we were out there, and we were freezing. About half the ride, we were freezing. Finally, we warmed up, and it was fun the last half. First half, it was freezing cold. And we started about 8 in the morning. There was hardly very few cars out on the road. And then the longer we went, you know, more people getting up and getting around. And after a while, there's cars all over the place. You had to be careful. There's several hundred bike riders, so they're all over the place. And we were talking about, you know what? All these people just getting out of bed are still laying there sleeping in and just as comfortable and cozy. And here we are out here freezing our fingers off to ride for some dogs we really don't even care about. Sorry, sister. So why would you do that? And then someone said something like this. He said, you know what? 6 months from now, they're going to look back and they are not going to remember sleeping in on April 9th. It was just another 9 day, 9 morning, because that's what they do every morning. But we're going to look back 6 months from now and talk to each other. Hey, remember when we were up early in the morning freezing to death out there riding around Gallatin? Wasn't that a blast? Remember how much fun we had? Why, we were out and we were doing something and we were living. We were making memories. We had a purpose. Now, I'm not recommending going out riding bike. What I'm telling you is take this spiritually, and we want everything to be so comfortable spiritually. We want everything to just fall into place, and when something comes out, oh, it's so cold, pretty soon we're whining and complaining. This is what God called us to do. He could have had it the other way if he would have just let Adam and Eve not fall. He could have kept them from falling, but he set them up so they would fall. This is what God did intentionally, folks. Let me give you another story that just happened. Friday morning, I was running. Long run. I'm training for another race. And I had been running for miles and miles. And this is going to sound funny, but it struck me after a while that I was running. I said, so this is why people hate running. I knew that, but it just, I look back and said, because I was going to preach it this morning. This is why people, why? Because I was in a lot of pain. My muscles were aching, my feet were sore, and it was like, oh my goodness, no wonder no one wants to come out and do this. It hurts. And then I thought, but I've ran so much, and I've had so many miles in place, that I knew how to tweak my running to take some of the edge off the pain. You just change your stride a little bit, and a different part of your body starts hurting instead of that part. And so you kind of run through everything. You have everything hurt. By the time you're done, you made it. But it's why people don't like to run. Because it hurts. But then sometime running is great and there's no pain and you're just cruising along and you just feel like you can almost fly. I thought, this is exactly what life is about. It's a great analogy. That's why Paul said, we're running a race. Run with patience. Take your time. Just simply run. But whatever you do, keep running. Because you know what? When I was at mile 15, I was in a lot of pain, but I ran through that. And by the time I finished at mile 22, I wasn't feeling half that pain. I was feeling great again. I was numb. But that's what life is about, folks. We are out here to do something, and sometimes it hurts, and sometimes it feels good, and sometimes you want to sleep in, and sometimes you want to get up and freeze to death. Just keep going. Don't think I'm here about talking to you not to eat, not to sleep in. Sleep in as much as you got a chance, brother and sister. Just don't be lazy about it. There's a difference between enjoying a good sleep sometime and just being lazy and just wallowing in your bed instead of getting up and doing something. Go ask Solomon. He told about the lazy person. Don't be that person. Have a purpose for your life. Find a purpose. If you want to serve God, you have a purpose. Do it. If you don't want to serve God, go find another purpose. For goodness sakes, do something. You only got one shot here, folks. Think of all the people going to end up in hell sitting there thinking, boy, I lived for 60 years. I never did a thing. I just had people give me a check. I never accomplished anything. I never loved anybody but myself. And I ended up in hell for it. Oh, my goodness, folks. Come on. Get out there and serve God. Find your purpose that God has for you and fulfill that purpose. Keep running. But we want it. Look, I ain't saying, oh, we're all stupid. Look, human nature wants it. We wish that Adam and Eve have never fell. Because look at all the pain and suffering and sorrow that everyone has happened, and including us for it. See, why would God allow that to happen? Well, let's find out. Why didn't he just keep Adam and Eve like that? Brother Branham asked that. Then he would never been able to express his fullness, his full attribute. He could have been a father there, that's true, but he's also a savior. How do you know he was? He is, because I've had the experience. He is a savior. He had to express that. And how could he do that? Only through Christ. How could it be a son? Only through Christ. How could it be a healer? Only through Christ. All these things wound up in that one person, Jesus Christ. But as long as he was just in Christ, He could not express it, so he had to have people to express it through, and that's where you and I get to come in. Brother and sister, these trials that you go through are not a curse. They're a blessing because it gives Jesus Christ the opportunity to express his attributes. That's why you are put here on earth. And he gave you a trial that he said, I know you can handle this because I am going to be in you and with you. And I am going to use this to express myself through you. Now stand up and keep going. Oh my goodness, we should take honor in the trials he trusts you with. Oh yes, you should be proud of the fact that Jesus Christ says, I am going to give you a trial that's going to knock you on your rear, but you know what? You're going to get up and keep going because I trust you because you are strong enough to deal with this trial. And the strength is not your own, it's mine. Oh my, if we would take that attitude towards the trials and the testing and the hardship we have to go through, Jesus Christ picked me to express himself through this trial. Boy, that puts a different spin on it, doesn't it? Look at the worst thing you've gone through. God trusted you with that. You know why? Because he put that on other people and they crumbled and quit. And he put it on you and you're still going forward. And on judgment day, they're going to say, well, God, I lost my kids. My kids died. And they're going to point at some of you and say, there's you too. My marriage fell apart. Theirs did too. My parents did this. They raised me terrible. Theirs did too, and they're still here. You don't have an excuse because I expressed myself through them. We were one. And I had these attributes, and I had to express a healer. I had to express a deliverer. What have you been delivered from? Brother Phil, I still struggle with this in my flesh. I just can't seem to get over it. Praise God, because he's going to use that to show the rest of the world that he is a deliverer. I don't care how bad your addiction is. I stand up right now and tell you, I don't care how bad your addiction is. He will set you free. How do I know? Because he has set me free. Amen. What is it? What do you want to hold on to, brother and sister? He has attributes. He wants to heal because he is a healer. He wants to love because he is a lover. He wants to deliver you because he is a deliverer. And he said, I need to find someone to express myself. Why? So they will understand me. How can you understand him if he doesn't express himself through human flesh that you can understand? Think about it. I can look around and I can see what he does in your life. I can see how he changes. I can see how he saves. I can see how this, and I understand what it means when he says, I love you. Because there's a great, mighty God. And we don't understand. All we know is he's a creator and he's eternal and he has all this. Oh my, you better please him. What is he like? And he said, my very core is love. And that love expresses itself through healing, through a fathership, through a sonship, through God at all, through all this deliverance. Everything is just to express who I am because I want to be one with people. I want a family. And the only way they're ever going to understand is if I express it through a way that they can understand. And when you come up and you say something to me and I recognize it's the voice of God bringing me comfort, I say, oh, God's a comforter too. Oh, and then someone lays their hands and he heals through that person. He said, God's a healer. He must love me. And when my soul was so dark and scared and lonely out there in some abyss of sin and hate and doubt and fear, and he came and he reached all the way down there and picked me up, he said, oh, he's a savior too. How do you know? Because I've seen it done. I had it happen to me, and I've seen it done on others, and it's changed their nature. He will give you the new birth, brother and sister. All you have to do is decide you want it. Oh, yeah, and you know why he does get you there? He'll send the hounds of hell on you to chew you up until you decide, yeah, I think I do want some peace.
I really do want some peace. Oh, brother and sister, our trials that tear us up. Don't get me wrong. I am not belittling your trial, brother and sister. They are rough. But they are God's way of expressing himself so we recognize, so we understand what he is, who he is, and what God's love really means. And when you start understanding that, brother and sister, you don't go parading out your holiness. You don't go out and say, look how much I love. Look how much I good I do. Look how I help these people. Look how much I pay. Really? After what God done for you, and you're going to try and put your stuff up against his? No, you just get out of the way and let him use you. And then all glory goes to him. Oh my goodness. Then you can worship. Then you can worship. Why? Because it's not just some kind of formal. We go to church and we sing songs and we say amen and we say praise God and all just right in cue. No, you have something to worship about. And you don't have to wait till you get to church to do it either. Sometimes you just call someone up because you just need to talk about what God has done for you. Amen. That's what it means to be a Christian, brother and sister. That's what it means. Deserve it. There, your deserving goes right out the window, doesn't it? What do you deserve? We deserve hell. You don't believe in helping people? Yes, I do. You don't believe in the story of the Good Samaritan? Yes, I do. Let's look at that just off the path a little bit. Good Samaritan, you remember the story. A Jew is walking down the road. He gets ambushed. Some robbers come out, beat him almost to death, rob him, take everything. He leave him to lay in there on the side of the street to die. What is a priest and a Levite or somebody? They walk by and they look at him. I don't have time for you. I'm a message believer. You're just an old whatever. Someone else comes along, someone who's a different race. There's segregation, racism in that day, of course, like there always is. He goes over, and he sees this person needs help. And he gives all he has, all he can, to help this person, expecting nothing in return. Now, 2016 rendition of this story goes like this. I'm walking down the street, and someone's sitting there beside the street. And I said, what are you sitting there? He said, I need some help. Will you give me some money? I said, why do you need money? Where's your job? I don't work. Why not? I don't need to work. I don't think I should have to work. I think you should give me your money. That's today's rendition of the Good Samaritan. Well, why don't you get up and go work? Because I don't like to work. My daddy didn't teach me to work. I didn't have it as good as you do. I shouldn't have to. I think the government should take care of me. That ain't the Good Samaritan story according to the Bible, brother and sister. But that's what we want spiritually. I'm not saying this politically. I'm talking about spiritually, brother and sister. We want to sit there in the pew and say, Brother Jerry, why don't you just preach me happy? Brother Phil, why don't you preach something that I can get happy about? Why do I have to pray? Why should I have to do a little work? Why should I have to struggle? Why should I have to go through these? I think I'm a Christian. Shouldn't that be enough? You might get by on 2016 Christianity, but not on Jesus Christ Christianity. No, you're not. You got something to do. Get out and run your race. Run your race. You say, well, I'm not a... Look, please don't think I'm trying to encourage you to go start running. I'm not. Running ain't for most people. It hurts. But if you don't... Yeah, okay. I'm talking spiritually here. I promise you, you're supposed to run spiritually. This is a race we run. And sometimes it feels great, and sometimes it hurts. And sometimes it's drudgery. You know what? I don't like getting up when it's 20 degrees and dark outside and going running. That first mile and a half is miserable. And then
You warm up. And then you think, this is fun. Because thousands of other people are wallowing in their bed all nice and comfortable. They wouldn't come out here for nothing. But something inside drove you out here. And now you're out here running and feeling warm and just enjoying the morning come. You ever run out when it's morning and the dawn comes and the sun starts coming up? It's the most beautiful time in the world. And how many times we miss the most beautiful time of the day? Sunrise. Because bed is more comfortable. Boy, it is to me. I like it. It's warm. But sometimes God says, why don't you get up and spend some time with me? Have a little sunrise in your life, in your spiritual life. Come to know me, understand me. Well, I go to church and pay my tithe. What more do you want? So you got a government check now, right? Government of heaven don't send you a check, folks, until you need it because something happened. Now, let me tell you something. There is things that happen. If something goes wrong, like the fellow beside the road, he had been, something happened. It wasn't his fault. He needed help. That's the kind of people you help. That's the kind of people you help. Not someone who's too lazy to help themselves. I like how Brother Jerry said it. People come to him and said, Brother Jerry, should I do this? Should I do that? Whatever. And what does he always say? Have you prayed about it? What do they want? Well, Brother Jerry, you pray about it and tell me what God wants me to do. Come on, you lazy. Get up and do your own praying. You have a relationship with Christ and you don't pray? Hope your marriage ain't like that. Yeah, I'm married, but we don't talk. His job is just to bring me the check. Her job is just to make sure I have clean clothes and food on the table and get out of my way. You say, well, that's ridiculous. Well, how many times is that what our spiritual life looks like? God, take care of my needs, but I don't have time for you beyond that. Express himself. He needed to be able to express himself. Let me read some more here. This is marriage and divorce. What is God? God is a great eternal. At the beginning, way back there, before there was a beginning, he wasn't even God. Do you know that? God's an object to worship. There was nothing to worship him. He lived alone. And in him was attributes. What is an attribute? A thought. So in God was thoughts. Those thoughts were eternal. They never began. They will never end. Think of that. Comprehend a thought that never began. I can't either. He was, listen, he said, notice, he was his attributes that was in him. Isn't that amazing? He was his attributes. He had thoughts of himself. Now, it was in him to be Father, to be God, to be Son. It was in him to be Savior, to be a healer. All these things were just displaying his attributes. There's nothing out of order. You think God didn't see the end from the beginning? Certainly he did. There's nothing out of order. It's just displaying his attributes. Brother and sister, when you look at your life and it's all a shambles and a mess, there's nothing out of order. He knows the end from the beginning. He just wants to display his attributes through the mess that is your life. You say, well, my life's not a mess right now. Praise God. Don't get all arrogant about it. It's the best way to get a mess again. If your life isn't a mess and everything is going great, you're running through a time when you're really having a high. We call it a runner's high. You feel great. I promise you, another 2 miles down the road, you're going to be aching again. It's ups and downs. There's hills, there's valleys, there's wind, there's cold, there's heat, there's dark, there's light, there's everything to run through. Just keep running. Don't get too high when you're high. Don't get too down when you're down. You know the worst kind of runner to run with? I love running with people. I run by myself. Most of the time I can't get people to run with me because they don't want to run that far. Brother and sister, when I have someone who wants to run with me, it's awesome because it so helps to encourage people to talk about things. And we're just running and the miles just click away and you're just having a ball. When you're running by yourself, you have more time to think about your own pain. That's why fellowship is so ridiculously important. Oh my goodness. But you know what's the worst kind of fellowship? Run with someone who's a whiner. They're always complaining. Boy, sure hot out here. Can't wait till we get done. Oh, shut up and go by yourself. I'd rather be by myself than have to put up with your crying. You know what I'm talking about? It's at work. It's everywhere. You work with people who are always whining and complaining. Boy, sure rough day today. Oh, go crawl under a truck. I don't care. I'm not talking about legitimate. That guy who got the Good Samaritan, he helped that person. He had a legitimate something to talk about. He had been beaten. He was dying. He needed help. I'm not talking about someone comes to you for help. I'm talking about someone who just complaining because life is hard sometimes. Someone needs help. You go help them. You bring them comfort, not your own comfort, the comfort of Jesus Christ through your flesh. You give them what they need. But if they're just over there whining and complaining and say, I don't like the way things are going, just keep it to yourself, you little 12-year-old crier. I shouldn't embarrass 12-year-olds by saying that. You know what I'm talking about? Let's talk about positive things. Paul said, those things that are good, those things that are honest, those things that are true, think on these things. Keep running, because you know what? No matter how hard it gets, no matter how long, no matter how sore, I know that in a matter of time, this run is going to be over. And as soon as it's over, I'm like, woo-hoo, that was awesome. And sooner or later, this run you're on is going to be over, and you're going to step into a new body, and woohoo, everything is awesome. That's right. Let me go another step on this. I don't know why I'm getting on this so much, but let's just stay here for a second. You know what? Some people get hurt. There are a lot of injuries happen during running. You think all you're doing is running. How do you injure yourself? Because you run too much, too far, it's overuse, or you're not running right. You have a wrong form. There's a lot of injuries. Personally, I've been injured many times running. It happens. People say, well, people blow out their knees and blow out their hips. They have heart attacks, all that from running. And you know what? That's true. And yet, it's still healthier than sitting on your couch. It is. It's still healthier than sitting on your couch and eating potato chips and watching TV. When you are running and you get a serious, you start getting an injury, it usually comes slowly. There's something called plantar fasciitis. I don't know if you heard of it. It's when the tendons on the bottom of your foot pull away from the bone. Now, I've had it several times myself, and I found out when you start feeling that, you better rest. Because if you keep going, it's going to get worse. Now, you need to rest. You need to strengthen your foot. You need to be careful and let it heal up before you start going again. Because if you don't, it will get worse. And at first, you can keep running. But after a while, if you don't rest, you are going to be hobbling around in a big boot the doctor puts on you. And you can barely put your weight on your foot. And you're going to be in agony. Why? Because you're too hard-headed to take a rest when you needed it. That, brother and sister, is why Brother Jerry is where he is right now, not because he's hard-headed, because he knows to take a rest. You need to take vacation sometime, folks. This life is hard. Running is hard. And when you get an injury or you see something start come creeping up on you, take a vacation. Take a rest. There is no holiness in working yourself to death. There is no holiness in not working. Do it all in moderation. Now, if you can work and you enjoy it and you don't, you know, that's some people working is their relaxation. My dad was that way. He came home from work and he couldn't wait to go out and do something working on the farm because that was his vacation. I don't see where he's coming from at all. My dad and I were different in a lot of ways. And I like doing stuff like that, but I like taking vacation. I like going someplace, you know, go off to Florida for a week, go off to wherever, take some time off, brother and sister. It's good for you. Jesus Christ himself took vacation. He said, let's go off to the hills and hang out a while because I need a rest. I'm not selling vacation plans. I just think sometimes we get so in a rut, sometimes we don't look around and enjoy the view sometimes, you know? You go running, I like running trails. And you go running through the woods and stuff, up and down your valleys and by the rivers and stuff. And it's so beautiful. But you had to watch so much where you're going because it's dangerous. You had to watch. You don't get to look around. And sometimes you need to just slow down and stop and look around and say, man, this place is beautiful. Sometimes just look around and say, wow, look what God is doing around here. Take your time. Enjoy living. That doesn't mean you're panhandling on the street corner saying, someone give me a dollar because I'm enjoying the view. Why aren't you praying? I'm enjoying the view. You're not being led by the Holy Spirit. Wow. He said, now he could not be just and make a man to fall. He couldn't say, okay, now I need to express my attributes. So Adam and Eve, I'm going to have you fall. I'm going to put you out here. I'm going to make you fall. Then I can save you. That'd be like me walking down, Will's walking down, and I trip Will and throw him on the ground. And then I pick him up and say, hey, I helped you up. Aren't you appreciating me? No, you knocked me down. Will would punch me. He should. Why? That's not God. That's not just. So what does he do? He put him on equal basis of free moral agency to make his own choice, but knowing he would fall. God had created in such a way knowing he would fall, but he had a choice. He can't be a savior unless something is lost. Can't be a healer unless something's sick. These things had to be that way. God makes them thus so his great attributes could be displayed. If not, he'd never been a savior, but we know he is. Let me move on right here. That's not what I'm looking for. I'm sorry, I lost. Can't find my note I was looking for. All right, here we go. Now, what was the threefold purpose? Manifest himself in Jesus Christ to become into the body of Jesus Christ to make the preeminence to what? Restore back Eden. Bring back that which was lost. That was the only thing out of order. All the rest of his things was in order. But he had to put man on free moral agency to fall so that he might be a savior to display what's in him. His attribute is savior. So we're looking at what does it mean to be a free moral agent? He said we're all born a free moral agent to make a decision we wish to. To make any decision we wish to. Let me read that again. We are born a free moral agent to make any decisions we wish to. God justly does that. He put every man on the same basis, or he put the wrong man on. He put the first man on wrong basis, or he put us on free moral agent. See, as we're just exacting tonight like Adam and Eve, there's no difference. Right and wrong sets before either one of us, life and death. We can make our choice. It's up to you to make it. That's the way Adam and Eve did. And they made the wrong choice. So when you want to say, well, Adam and Eve sold me into sin. Yes, they did. But you're put on the same basis, Adam and Eve. You get to make your choice too. So if you don't want to make the same choice they did, don't make it. You get to choose. Yeah, but it's a lot harder for me because I was born in sin. Okay, but you also have a chance for redemption. You can choose to be saved or you can choose to be lazy. That's what it comes down to, spiritual laziness. I don't want to have to go through the battle of believing. Man, I'm going to just rest there for a second. Let's look around. Just stop. Just take a breath. Look around, enjoying it. The reason people don't want to be saved is because it's too hard to believe. It's just too difficult. They don't want to run that race. It's just too hard to simply take God at his word. Because all I have to do really is go to this church, believe this doctrine, follow these rules, and I can be Christian. Instead of having to actually take God at his word and believe it until he brings it to pass. That is a hard battle. In fact, it's the greatest battle ever fought. It's the hardest race you'll ever run. And it's the only way you're going to get to heaven. So you decide, do I want to run or am I just too lazy? Your choice. People say, well, I just can't live that life. No, what you're saying is, I just don't want to believe. You've been deceived into thinking that it's some kind of how somehow it's your own works. It ain't your works. Do you believe? Don't make it more complicated than do you believe? Only believe. Anything more than that, and you are overcomplicating it, and you're missing out on God. Only believe. What am I supposed to believe? What He has revealed to you. What is the truth? But what about these problems I have? Oh my goodness. What did we just talk about? He let you have those problems so He could display Himself as a deliverer. Now deliver yourself and go to Him. Say, God, I deliver myself and my addictions, and how are you going to save me? You say, that's ridiculous. Isn't that the way most people approach God? God, I've set myself free from my addictions. Now give me the Holy Ghost. I'm living good enough now. It's ridiculous, folks. You have to decide for yourself, are you going to believe God or not? It's your choice. And because they don't receive a love for the truth, they choose not to. The truth is Christ. It's Him manifest. And if you don't receive a love for the manifestation of Christ among us, because it's too simple, brother and sister, God's going to turn you over to a reprobate mind to believe with a lie. And that lie is Jesus Christ is not the same yesterday and today and forever. So all you have to do is recognize Him in the prophet. As long as you recognize the message is true and the prophet was true, then you're good to go. That is the lie. That's the reprobate mind. What it is around the message. Your choice. If you don't make the rapture, brother and sister, and judgment day comes and you stand there in front of God, you say, well, God, I tried. He said, that was never the requirement. Think about all those people on Judgment Day who spend their whole life trying to serve God. And they understand, God, I gave everything I had. I tried to serve you. He said, you never gave me yourself. I wanted you. You gave me worship. You gave me praise. You gave me your money. You gave me your time. You gave me all your sacrifice. Your body was burned. You helped the poor. You did that, but you never gave me yourself. You never gave me your soul. That's all I ever wanted. Why didn't you do that? Mostly it's pride. And then a lot of it's unbelief because, well, it's all unbelief. But mostly, you know, I just don't want to be a servant. I don't want to be a slave to God. Because if I surrender my life to God, I have to do what He wants me to do. I'll be a slave. Okay, then be a slave to Satan. You're one person's servant. He lets you do what he. You know what? Satan will get. You know, if you serve me, I'll let you have what you want in this life. And you know what? How many people actually get that? Look around at the people who decided to leave the message and go serve the devil in some other religion or no religion. Look how happy they are. They ought to go to the devil and say, hey, this ain't according to the contract because I got all this illness. I'm unhappy. My family has fell apart. I don't have a minute's peace. I have to take drugs to find any kind of peace, and I'm supposed to get everything I want. I get to do what I want. My health is in shambles. My family's tore up. I'm miserable. I can't even hardly afford to do anything. This ain't what I bargained for. And He's going to sit there and snicker at you and say, yep, and then you're going to hell. And yet that's what people choose. Because I'm not going to do what God tells me to do. I'm going to do my own thing. Wow. You think you're going to, you know, I don't want to be embarrassed by wearing long hair or hanging out with those kind of people. You want to be embarrassed? Think how you're saying on Judgment Day and the opportunity is showing that you had, and you're going to say, well, I don't want to be embarrassed. Oh my goodness. You think those demons aren't going to laugh at you? Are you embarrassed? Think about it, folks. What are you choosing? What do you want? You're going to run the race, or you're going to, so you're running one of the races, brothers and sisters. You're either running for Christ, or you're running for the devil. You know, you see all these people leaving the message. You know, you're running as hot as 90 degrees, and you're sweating. You don't have enough water. You're just like baking out here. And your buddy beside you say, hey, look, over there, there's another path under the trees. There's shade over there. Let's go run in the shade. See, that's not the path. But it runs right alongside it. It ain't the path, but it's close enough and it'll be more comfortable. Goodness sakes, what is your problem? You don't have to run out in the sun. Well, if you want to get ripened, you do. Well, I'll tell you what, I'm going to run over there beside it, and then if I see you getting a little more ripe, I'm just coming back over to you. And they take off over there. Hey, I'm still a message believer. I'm just going to another church, and I'm over here. Okay. Oh, hey, I'm getting ahead of you. I got more energy. Look at me go. And then you notice there's a deep chasm between where they're running and you running. And they reach the end of their trail and say, oh my goodness, there's no more for me to go. Hey, let me get over there. I said, that's no way to get across. How do I get over there? You got to go all the way back where you left him. Where you left Christ, you got to go all the way back. That was miles ago. Yeah, you're way behind. You're never going to catch up. I'm going to try. And when they tried to get oil, the bridegroom came. And they came running up the path. Wait for me. Because it was too uncomfortable out in the sun. Don't be that person. Go through the hardships now, folks. Go through the troubles. Go through the trials now. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Our trials will seem so small. I'm telling you what. Let me tell you what. Saturday. I mean, Friday I was running. I don't know why I keep coming back. That's all right. My watch had broke, so I could not keep track how far I had run. And so I'd run a ways, I'd come back to the car, and I could time it. I could tell how fast I was, how far I'd gone by how much time, because I could generally tell how fast I was running. And so I had run a bunch of miles, and I had to go about 8.5 more miles. And I went out, and I knew I was going a long time. I got back, and I was like, I sure hope I've reached, because I was supposed to run 20. I said, I sure hope I've reached 20 miles, because I really don't want to go out anymore. I'm just kind of done. And I get there, and I checked on the watch, and I had ran 22. It was like, oh my goodness, I ran 2 extra miles. I was so happy. It was like, woo. And you know what? I was done. I just sat there in the car. It's like, oh, this is so good. A sense of accomplishment. But you know what I was going, about mile 17, you know what was going through my mind? Why don't you just cut it off at 18? Why don't you just stop at 18? Or 19? You've had enough. But when you finished it, man, I'm glad I didn't cut it off short. Because I could do it. It was good. I needed it because I got a race coming up. So it's definitely helpful. So don't cut it off. Don't take an easy, don't take a shortcut. Don't like, well, you know what? I've been around this message for quite a while. I think I'm just going to coast into the rapture now. Watch the runners come off your coaster. Predestinated. All sons of God and daughters of God are predestinated. All right? We are predestinated. Why? Christ is the original seed, and this original... Oh, my goodness, I'm out of time. Did I really go an hour? I know you think I did. I can... It was quick up here. All right, well, we're not going to keep going then.
Let's stop. Let me just wrap it up. Free moral agent, brother and sister. You get to choose. You say, I don't want to choose. I don't think it's fair. If I really had the same choice Adam and Eve had, I would be here saved and I would choose to be lost. Well, you came lost, you get to choose to be saved. The battle is the same. Eve was deceived, like most people on this earth are deceived. She didn't know better because she was willing to go over the word to accept this reasoning. And when Satan brings reasoning and wisdom and knowledge, education, he deceives us by complicating the message, the word, from only believe to only believe this or that or do this or do that. You get to choose whether you'll be deceived or not. You say, well, if you're deceived, you can't help it. But see, brother and sister, if you have ears to hear and eyes to see, brother and sister, then you get to, you see, I'm getting predestinated. I'm going to have to stop. I'm sorry. Just forget what I all said. Next Thursday, we'll come back and we'll pick up right there, all right? Just the last 3 minutes, forget it. Well, don't forget it, but anyways. Here's my point. You're not going to stand there on Judgment Day and say, well, God, I couldn't help it. I was deceived. No, because you're a free moral agent and you chose. And Eve was deceived, but she chose to accept Satan's word over God's word. And someplace down through time, those people are deceived as they accepted God's word Satan's word over God's word because they appealed to their lust for whatever it is their weakness was. So don't do that, folks. Run the race that's set before you. Remember, it's a long-distance race. Just keep going. Just keep going. Amen. I feel like I'm stopping right in the middle of it, but we're out of time. Let's stand. He expressed you here. He put you here to express himself through you, his attributes. You are attributes. You are thoughts, eternal thoughts of God. He put you here knowing you were going to believe so he could use you to express himself as the light of the world. But brother, sister, light shines best in darkness. That's why there's so much darkness. And you can't be light without Christ manifesting through you. And he uses your struggles, your trials, your tests, everything you go through to express himself. Because if you're always happy, you know, you go through life and there's no problems, and people at work see you say, well, Brother Paul never has any problems. No wonder he's a Christian. But see, when they see the struggles that Brother Paul goes through and he still conducts himself like a Christian, that's the light. Then you look at him and say, well, my goodness, I like that about Brother Paul. And so when we don't express Christ during a time of trouble, that's when it's time to grow up. Amen. It's time to die to yourself and give yourself completely to him, because it's that relationship with your soul is what he's always been looking for. And when he gets that, the rest of it will fall into place through trials. Amen. Lord Jesus, we're so grateful you'd come and speak this morning and just help us to see more of you and to be encouraged, Lord, by your word, and to look at our own lives and see how you are leading and guiding us and just drawing us forward, drawing us towards you. Lord, we just pray you'd take this word, Lord, and quicken it to each heart, Lord, that's here to receive it. Watch over us, Lord, and bless us and keep us. So we ask this in your name. Amen. Brother Nate, would you come on up? I sing a little chorus as Brother Nate comes. Glory, glory, hallelujah, since I laid my burden down. Glory, glory, hallelujah, since I laid my burden down. Glory, hallelujah, since I I'm so happy.
have decided to follow Jesus. I've decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I want to bow.
Brother Gene to dismiss us.
Precious Father, we pray that God, that you come by and spoke to our hearts, Lord. Pray to God that you go with each and every one of us.
Amen.
I have decided.